Play. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of thing the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
Now, I don't think I sound like Drew Tignanelli, but some people think I do. This is Tom Bonvasuto, and welcome to Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight, I have with me two colleagues, one that works at our office, Christina Vaughn.
Hello.
Yeah, Christina, it's great to have you. And so she's one of our rising stars and has a lot of interest in the topic we're going to talk about tonight. So it's a pseudo-open show is what I call it, because we're going to have a environment here where you can call in. And that number to call in is 410-922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. But we're going to narrow the focus of the calls tonight to healthcare. Because we have an expert with us tonight. Ron Draeger is with us. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so Ron is with SIG, otherwise known as Silverstein Insurance Group, as well as Barnes Draeger. And his partner, Mr. Barnes out there, he also is involved with insurance, but on kind of a different side of the angle. But tonight we want to focus on healthcare, and there's a lot going on here. It is open enrollment season, and I know I'm excited about that. We've had clients come in today going through their open enrollment books, and we like to help people with that. All comprehensive advisors should be able to help their clients with healthcare. And it's a big topic. And there's been a lot of concern over the last several years with what's known as the Affordable Care Act. I call it the Unaffordable Care Act from personal experience. And then otherwise known as Obamacare, when some people want to call it that. So, Ron, what I'd like you to maybe start us out with is while we're waiting for people to call in would be just giving us a little bit of the state of the union of what's going on, particularly in Maryland, in regards to health care, what you're hearing, what's coming down the pike, where we are in the process, in the stage of renewals at both the group level, the individual level, and what's this health care exchange, what are people's options? So that's a lot I just gave you, but let's start out with that, and we'll cover that in this first segment.
Okay, let's just talk right now about the pre-executive order that was done yesterday. There's going to be some changes as time goes on. So the open enrollment for the individuals, the folks who don't have access to group health insurance, that will open up the 1st of November through December 15th. So that's right around the corner.
Right.
The one thing that's going to happen, I think there's going to be a lot of sticker shock for the folks who have to pay for the insurance on their own that are not getting subsidies or aren't eligible for Medicaid and things like that, because you're probably going to see about a 40% rate increase. And depending where you fall in the mix, over or under certain ages, you know, it could be heftier than that. So sometimes until that bill comes, it's that doesn't hit home. With that, we're seeing some trends where small companies a few years ago when the Affordable Care Act came around that went and moved to the individual market outside of the group insurance. So there's going to be a crossover now that the group insurance is going to make more sense than the individual market for companies. So, for example, if I'm a company, if I have 5 employees, instead of me saying to everyone, you go out and buy your own insurance, now, because we're not going to have a group insurance plan any longer, that's kind of flip-flopping. So that's going to come back. So I think we're going to see a lot of that happening because of where the rates are going with the individual plans. And with that, the exchanges, you know, keep in mind in Maryland, we have a Maryland exchange for the Maryland residents, and right. Then we have the ability to buy insurance on our own through the carriers directly. So I always tell people, if you don't qualify for a subsidy or you don't qualify for Medicaid, there's really no reason to go through the Maryland exchange. It's a little bit more complicated. And as a broker, I'm a broker with the exchange, but it makes it easier not to go through the exchange. There's basically 2 carriers in Maryland to use. CareFirst and Kaiser.
Is that just on the exchange, or is that in just period in Maryland?
In general, and you're seeing that across the country, mm-hmm. where you're seeing less and less choices. Some states have 1 choice, so it depends on where you are. But that's becoming an issue, to say the least. And it's not a profitable piece of business for the insurance companies. CareFirst, I believe, lost about $248 million last year. That's why we're seeing these hefty increases.
Right.
So it's going to be an ongoing, an interesting fact. We'll talk a little bit about the executive orders as we go on, but in a nutshell, that's kind of what's happening today.
Yeah, so to clarify, you said, the health exchange is an option for folks, but it's the option when your either income is so low that you're on Medicaid. What's that level where Medicaid is going to start to kick in terms of your income being below a certain level that as an individual, you're going to end up on the Medicaid?
Medicaid's the federal poverty level. So, you're basically folks that are making less than $20,000 in most cases, give or take a few, a few thousand dollars. So if someone qualifies for Medicaid, obviously they're going to push you into Medicaid first. And then if someone does not qualify for Medicaid and they qualify for a subsidy, which is starts about 138% of the federal poverty level, then what would happen is then they would get subsidized amounts. So let's say hypothetically your individual premium is $300. There's certain plans you have to buy. It has to be a silver plan. There's levels of benefits. But assuming you go that direction, you would then get a amount of dollars that the federal government, or it's really a tax credit, that would go towards your premium. So instead of, let's say hypothetically it's $100, so instead of you paying $300, you'd pay $200.
Right.
In order to get that subsidy or through Medicaid, you have to go through the Maryland Exchange.
Right, and you have to provide certain amounts of personal data as well as your income and the like on a forward-looking basis.
Correct.
What's your income going to be? For instance, when you go into this November 1st to December 15th open enrollment, you're going to need to look at your income projection for 2018 in terms of the numbers you're putting in.
And what's important to know is, again, it's a tax credit. So if something changes through the year, you have to go in back into the system and update that, because you then could no longer qualify for that amount of money. And at the end of the year, when you go to pay taxes, they're going to get those dollars back, one way or the other.
If you had a sudden increase in
or
income.
Or decrease. It could go the other way, too.
It could as well. Well, we're at our first break, so let's take our first break. And when we get back, if anybody has questions about health care, it's 410-922-6680. Tonight with Ron Draeger on Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Personal finance has become a major area of stress due to the increasing dangers and complexities of the global economy. Personal financial management is a comprehensive approach to combating these issues, and the financial physical is the first step. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent fee-only firm. The financial physical begins with an objective analysis of your personal finances and ends with a plan to help achieve your goals. Experience the difference of the financial physical and learn how personal financial management can revolutionize your financial well-being. To learn more about the financial physical and the other services we offer, call us at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283. Or the easy way to remember that, 410-823-SAVE. Or visit us online at drewtig.com. That's drewtig.com.
Okay, welcome back. This is Tom Bonvasuto here with Christina Vaughn and Ron Draeger, and we're talking about health care. And if you have any questions or you want to add to the conversation, you can dial us at 410-922-6680. And Ron, in the first segment, you were talking about kind of the state of affairs, state of the union on health care. And we're talking offline. One of the things that, as we're working with clients in developing their plan, one of the things we love is the HSA account, the health savings account. And so you were just saying earlier some of the people that you like to use or point people to if they can tap into the health savings account. Who do you like there?
What I always tell folks is probably you can go through a carrier directly, the insurance company. I prefer to use a bank because it separates you. And in case you ever make a benefit change or you change from one company to another from the insurance company, you always have that HSA that stays with you. So, for example, I personally use Health Equity, which was originally owned by M&T, which was originally owned by Provident Bank. But Health Equity is something they farmed out their business to. But, most banks, and I'm not plugging any particular bank, but most folks like to use the bank that they do their personal banking with.
Right.
Whether it's BB&T, Sandy Spring Bank, one after another, they all pretty much handle them. There's some online banks, too, which is like HSABank.com, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's great. Well, we've got a caller on the line, so let's see if we can pull in Josh here. And Josh is in Pikesville. He's got a question about healthcare. Josh, what's your question?
Basically, thank you for taking my call. My healthcare plan costs approximately $36 a week for my premium. I have a $5,000 deductible. This past year, I had a meniscus tear and some operation, and lo and behold, my bill, thank God, is under $5,000, which means I have to pay the whole thing. Now, I find that my health insurance is not doing me really any good because I have to pay the premium, and then everything I have to pay out of pocket. I'm seriously thinking about dropping it and taking my chances. What do you think?
Okay, so
I'm 60, by the way, and I'm in fairly good health.
Okay, so you sound younger than 60, but I'll give you credit for that. So if I got it right, so you said $36 a week, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and where do you have that plan through?
That's with my job, I don't want to say the name of the business.
No, that's fine. It's through an employer. Okay.
It's with Care First whatever it is.
Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Care First, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's
it. All right, Ron, do you have some thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts, first of all, is in the scheme of healthcare cost, $36 a week is fairly low.
Right.
Now, you do have a high deductible, and that's the trend that we're really heading to, and that's where things are going. So the one thing I would be very cautious of, kind of keep in mind that even though you may not be hitting your deductible, you're still getting the discounts along with that insurance carrier. So in Care First, you know, for example, if you had a surgery that was $3,000, the allowed benefit and the negotiated amount could be $800, $1,000, $2,000, and that doctor agrees to accept that as payment in full. So there's some numbers that you sometimes keep you from getting to your deductible, but it saves you some dollars. Now, the other side of it, you know, on the hospital side of things, you know, if you were to go in the hospital inpatient, you're there 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever that may be. I mean, you're talking probably $5,000 a day to be inpatient.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty easy to accumulate hospital cost and doctor charges quickly when things like that happen. So I'm not an advocate of going uninsured,
right,
just because of the risk out there. And not to mention, if you do go uninsured, there are some penalties and tax side of penalties that would come into play. But I think the bigger risk out there is just the overall unknowing of what your liability could be.
Yeah. Well,
let me ask you something about that.
To save $36 a week, it's also probably pre-taxed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably costing you $25 a week. I would, okay. I'd stay clear.
Yeah. So what was your question, Josh?
See, the other question is, since I'm making $12 an hour, my income is not that high. So how much are they going to fine me?
Well, that is the balancing act. So I think you've got the two things that Ron mentioned is one, you know, the fines are increasing to a level where they're disincenting people from not having any insurance at all. So they're making it so it's more painful than having the insurance. And then really it's the risk exposure if you were to have a more serious situation. You know, those bills, you know, can easily get into the hundreds of thousands, you know, if you have a serious issue. So $36 a week is, you know, $1,872 a year on a pre-tax basis. You know, I think you've got a really good plan. But it is frustrating, and I share your frustration. I actually wrote down my numbers today of what my increases were, but I tell people this. I pay $23,000 in annual premiums between me and the company towards my health care. Now I have a family of there's six of us on our health care plan, and my individual deductible is $6,500 per person, or $13,000 a year. So basically, until we get to about $36,000 of expense, I don't really get a lot of coverage. I do get to see my doctor and shake his hand once a year for my physical, and then we do get the breaks, so to speak, that Ron was talking about that are negotiated rates. So it's really, for me, a catastrophic coverage, and it is extreme. So when we hear your numbers, I go, boy, that's a really good plan.
How do I take, let me quickly ask this. I have not been able to open up a health savings account in addition to my 36 a week. How do I do that?
You know, Ron, you want to touch on that?
So, so it sounds like you would do that personally, right? You don't have that available through your employer to open up.
No.
So, right? So if you have a high deductible plan, you have the ability to qualify for a health savings account. You could walk in. I don't know where you bank. That's probably the first place to look and say, okay, you can walk in there and you open up a health savings account.
I did that. I did that. I asked SunTrust about that. They said, no, I have to go through my insurance company.
Okay, so maybe SunTrust does not do them. So, like I said, you could use Health Equity, you could use BB&T. I know with BB&T you can walk in and open up a health savings account. If you just Google HSA's local health savings accounts, it'll give you a list of all the banks. But most banks handle them, and so all you have to do is you have to have the qualified health plan, which you do. Then you can walk in and open up that health savings account. So whatever you put into that account, you get to deduct off your income tax at the end of the year. It's kind of like it's a glorified checking account that pays for your health care, but you're putting money in, and then you're getting that, like an IRA for health insurance. There's some maxes and things like that you're allowed to put in, but it's your money. It never goes away. And you're basically spending it out on your health care costs or eligible
expenses. That's what I want to do.
That's right. Now, Josh, you said you were 60. Are you single?
No, I'm married. My wife has her, through her job, her own insurance that I'm not on.
Okay. And does she have an HSA in her plan?
Not at all, no.
Not at all. Okay. Does she have a high deductible plan?
No. Everything is fully paid for by the employer.
Okay. All right. So those are the things, because as Ron mentions, the plan has to be HSA eligible, which is typically the high deductibles. There are a few exceptions to that. You can put in $3,400 in 2017 and an extra $1,000 because you're over 55. So not that you have that much to put away, but if you did, you could put those limits away, and that doesn't expire. You can carry that over to future years.
I'm going to look into that. Thank you so much for all of your advice, and I really appreciate your show.
All right.
I listen to it all the time. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Take care.
Oh, you're welcome. All righty. So that was good questions from Josh, and we've got a few minutes before our next break, and I don't want to short shift Elizabeth here. Who wants to talk about Obamacare. So, Elizabeth, if you can please hang on. And there's a few other callers. I think Josh got them flowing, which is often the case. So we're going to get some other callers on the line and talk more about, you know, things like HSA, Obamacare, and the like. So if you have questions, call in 410-922-6680. Otherwise, we're going to take our next break here.
Do you need help organizing your financial life? You thought about what retirement looks like when you go beyond just the numbers? The financial physical is the first step in working together to organize your personal finances and your goals. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, an independent, fee-only firm. Call today to schedule your financial physical and experience the difference. Learn at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com or 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
All right. Welcome back to Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Tom Bonvasuto with Christina Vaughn and Ron Greger. We're talking healthcare, and we've got callers on the line. So without further ado, let's hop over to Elizabeth in Mount Washington. Question about Obamacare. Elizabeth, what's your question?
Well, it's more a statement of disgust, let's say. I have no insurance as a result of Obamacare.
Wow.
We're self-employed, my husband and I. And the individual market, as you well know, is impossible to afford. We're just over the line for the so-called premium support. Even that term is so obnoxious to me. It's our own tax dollars coming back. But never mind. That's a whole other subject. But we're just over that line. So these premiums are impossible. You cannot afford. It's practically a mortgage each and every month with a out-of-pocket, the deductible being $6,500 per person.
Yep.
I mean, it's a nightmare. And these politicians, when I call Senator Cardin, when I call my local congressman, you get nothing, nothing at all. They don't appreciate those of us who are self-employed and in the individual market. All you hear about is the poor.
Right.
And the wealthy who are doing just fine. It's us people stuck in the middle that are being squashed, and we can't afford it.
Yep. Yeah. That's great points, and you know I've experienced that personally as well. It's gotten crazy, and you know, and unfortunately, our elected officials do not participate in the same plans that we do, and so that is one of the problems. They're not aligned with our goals. But Ron, any comments on Elizabeth's perspective?
I feel your pain. I believe I live this every day with folks, and it's some tough situations out there. I would say if you have the ability to look at group insurance. Now, if it's a husband and wife company and there's no employees, you can't go that direction. But if you
correct.
Have
another
employee that works there, you could look at setting up a group plan. At least look at the numbers. And if you need some help with that, we'd be glad to give you some numbers. But
what about associations or other groups? Are there other ways to do groups?
The associations, as we sit here today, are not in existence. However, the executive order that was signed yesterday, right? That's one of the things in there is association business. The problem with that's not going to help us in the immediate future.
Right.
So I could see that effect, you know, coming to play maybe 6 months, 9 months down the road. I don't see that happening by January 1st.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is I don't know who does your taxes, as you look at with you working with your CPA, there are sometimes ways to manage income in terms of the reported income, and so sometimes we're able to do that to help people with managing their premiums.
Right. Well, we've done that. We've tried, and it's really it's no significant improvement.
Yep.
And it's quite unfortunate. But my husband, on the other hand, used to have maternity care, so that was quite helpful.
Right.
I mean, that's how outrageous this whole healthcare system is now.
Yeah. And how old are you and your husband?
I'm sorry?
How old are you and your husband?
Oh, 57.
I was going to say.
59.
Yeah, you sounded a little too young because, you know, the Medicare program is actually a really good one as well. But, you know, from a cost perspective and so forth. But you've got a few years to wait till there. So,
if we make it.
Yeah. Well, sorry about that. But Elizabeth, thanks for your perspective.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Great. Well, we're going to hop over to Leo in Catonsville, and he's got a question about Medicare.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My cousin is on Social Security disability, and he's got Medicare Part A and Part B. And what I was wondering is if there's a Medicare he's not getting any health care. He's not seeing a doctor or anything because he can't afford the co-pays and the deductibles. And I was wondering, is there a Medicare Advantage plan out there that has no or low co-pays, low deductibles?
He's under 65, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he's 56, I think.
Yeah, there's some of the supplements for the under 65 disabled person. They're not as robust, so to speak. I'd have to double check on if there's any Advantage plans you could get for in that situation. I don't come across that very often. If you maybe we can get your information and we can follow back up.
Yeah, and we haven't done that yet. So why don't we take this opportunity, Ron? Why don't you give out your information of how people could reach out to you and tap into your knowledge?
Sure. So on my side, you can reach me at 410-823-8066. Again, it's 410-823-8066, extension 103, where you can spell out my last name either or, but you can get a hold of me and I'll be glad to get back with you. But again, I think there's, you know, healthcare, it's gotten so complicated. It's just an ongoing, you know, in the last 24 hours, it's changed.
Right.
So I don't see that I think we're going to see more changes as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. So any other resources we'd point Leo and his family to there?
The other thing is you may want to look through the exchange
right.
to see if he can qualify for any type of medical assistance, Medicaid. That would probably be his.
No, he doesn't qualify
because
for Medicaid.
Right. That's
his Social Security disability check puts
him over that
category.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So he's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like Elizabeth was saying. There's certain people you kind of fall in the middle, and the premiums have gotten out of sight. you know, in terms of that. So, but yeah, I mean, and I think to Ron's point, it's an individual situation. You got to look at it, and sometimes there's things that can be massaged and looked at. But it's gotten pretty tough on us all, Leo. But thanks for the follow up on that call there. So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
We're gonna hop over here to Barb in Baltimore City. Barb, what's your question?
Well, I don't have a question. I just have a little bit of commentary I'd like to add to the conversation. Being a licensed insurance agent for the last 25 years, I'd just like to share a couple of things. You've had people that called in about HSA. HSA was outlawed with Obamacare. They did not want to have health savings accounts. That's why a lot of people are having a problem getting it, because it was outlawed. But the other thing that's happening here, especially with people who have, issues outside of the norm that have been getting disability, drug addiction, and alcoholism, they get checks. A lot of people don't know that, but yes, they do get checks.
Mm-hmm.
They can get checks sent to homeless shelters and all of that, and they get their checks, and they still live homeless, and they don't go into treatment. But it's a check. Some of those things are going to become means tested. And I think that's a great thing, because it's going to make some people kind of face the facts about their life.
Yep.
And
well, you're right, and that's the way we're going to deal with the systems, right? You know, the systems, people that are on the dole, as we say, are out there, and we cannot continue to support the level of subsidies for folks.
Whatever you want, you can pretty it up as much as you want, but the bottom line is everybody's going to need, because I just love what President Trump has done, and I do not believe that the insurance companies should be subsidized. I think that is. I'm so glad he backed up on that, and because insurance companies have been subsidized far too long, and for what?
Right.
Why should? And when we say insurance companies, we must be sure to separate health insurance companies.
Right.
It's health insurance companies that have been subsidized. That's why you only have two companies
in Maryland. Yep.
Yes, and there are over 1,300 insurance companies. So I just love the fact that Flo and the Gecko and State Farm and all of the companies that have the infrastructure to sell insurance will be able to sell health insurance, because they all can sell it. They were stopped from selling it because the health insurance industry has been paying money to the state and to the Democrat Party.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Barb, I'm going to go back to one thing, because
they've been paying money.
Right, yeah. Ron and I looked at each other kind of funny when you said HSAs are outlawed.
They were by Obamacare.
Well, I don't understand what you mean by that, because I still operate.
I had callers who called in and said they couldn't get them.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I mean,
they couldn't get them.
Well, they're still out there. I mean, I have one. I have one this year. I'm going to have one next year, and you know.
That's great that you do.
Yeah.
You're one of the minority, and it's probably because of income means or whatever.
So.
But setting up an HSA is not something that everybody can do.
Hmm.
And guess what? If that's the case, then everybody should be able to have one.
Well, we would agree with that. We think it's the best thing out there, and if you can get one, let's get one.
Especially for young people.
Yeah. Well, Barbara, I appreciate your insights and your experience. Thank you for calling in. All right. Well, here we are at our break, so we're going to take our next break, and we'll come back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. All right. Here we are in our last segment. If you have any comments or questions about health care, 410-922-6680. We've had some good discussions here about the exchange and the individual and group markets, health savings accounts, and the like. And the important thing is, as you can tell, this is not Drew Tignanelli tonight. So Drew's down at the NAPFA conference with Graham Ewing, the new president of the Genesis Group for advisors, and And they're down there. And the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors are fee-only advisors. These are the kinds of people that you want to go to help you navigate this. You know, comprehensive advisors need to be able to talk to you about your health care, about your estate planning, about your life insurance, because they don't get paid for this. They, you know, extra besides managing your money or whatever other kind of direct fee that they're going to charge you, that, you know, they're going to want to do this for you, and you want to look at it comprehensively. How does an HSA fit into your family plan? And so, as we got a caller coming on the line, a couple of things we want to hit. So, Ron, you mentioned an important thing to think about right now. Two things you really highlighted was open enrollment and things that small companies, those 2 to 50 employee companies, need to be thinking about. So what are the two main things we want people to walk away with?
Well, I would say just keep in mind the open enrollment is shorter this year. So for the individuals, 11-1 through December 15th, so it was 6 weeks prior to that, or only 6 weeks this year versus a few months. That's new this year, so keep that in mind. Once that
is
closes,
that both the exchange and direct?
Right, correct. Okay. So that's the open enrollment for individual insurance. The other piece, I just as the individuals that are some of the smaller companies that may have gone to the individual market for their employees. You know, let's say hypothetically you're a retail business, you have 5 employees, 10 employees, whatever that may be, and the rates were artificially lower back a few years ago. You might have just gone and had everybody buy their own insurance. Well, that's flip-flopped now. You're going to want to look at coming back to group insurance, at least get rates so you know what you're up against. And, again, we're getting a lot of folks reaching out to us to do that.
Yeah. That's something people can turn to you for.
Sure.
And that's what your business is. Can you, once again, give your contact information out in case some of those small business owners want to reach out and kind of have you price a group plan for them?
Sure. We could do that. It's an easy turnaround. It's quick. It's 410-823-8066, extension 103, 410-823-8066, extension 103. Or ask for Ron Drager.
Okay, that's great. Well, let's get Mark here on the line. Mark is in Ellicott City. His comment is about Trump and health care. What's your question or comment, Mark?
Being a small business owner, will we be able, with this upcoming November, to choose a insurance beyond our state borders?
Well, there was an executive order signed just 2 days ago or yesterday. That's some of those things are up in the air. We're talking about individual insurances or group insurances?
Individual.
I would say right now, no. I don't see that happening by the time the open enrollment comes around, even if they get everything worked out, because that would be probably more of association-type plans that would come about. But I think we're even if that all goes forward, it's going to take some time to get those things rolling. So I think maybe by next year that could happen. But it's a little bit of a wait and see to see where things are going to go between the executive order and what Congress is going to do.
Right.
Is there still going to be a penalty if you don't have insurance?
Yes.
Yes.
At least today there is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
So what kind of insurance do you have today, Mark?
I have a $10,000 deductible, and it's through MediShare, and it's about $350 a month.
And you're single?
No, I'm married. That's with that's my for my family.
So that's a family premium of $350 a month.
Yeah, with a $10,000 deductible.
And does that product meet the Affordable Care Act guidelines for minimal essential coverage? Do you know?
Well, because it's Christian-based, they are not responsible to cover a lot of stuff, and that was one of the reasons I thought that was the least expensive one that I could get.
Well, the one thing you want to make sure of is that product meets the minimal essential coverage that's outlined by the Affordable Care Act, and they would know that via the product, because that also, you could have insurance and it not do that, and then you're still subject to the penalty.
Right.
I see.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that the MediShares of the world have tried to comply mm-hmm. with the ACA in order to, not have people be penalized.
Right.
So, and like you said, you've got a big deductible, but even in the other plans where you would have had a smaller deductible, you might not have ever hit it if you've got a generally healthy family. And so, $350 a month is actually a fairly good premium level for a family.
No doubt.
So.
Yeah, I thought so. But also, if you qualify for being healthy, they reduce the monthly premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yes.
That's one reason why it's a little lower, too.
Yep, yeah, yeah. So, well, that's great, Mark. Thanks for calling in on that. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So, you know, lots of topics with healthcare, and it's complex, you know, so that's why we're bringing a guy like Ron, who's got his ear to the ground with this all the time. And as you're working out there, you folks out in radio land here, so that you're working with your open enrollment period, really, you know, get somebody else to take a look at it. You know, a lot of times, even with your company plans, people are not taking advantage of the things that they should, things like HSAs, which have not gone away, and they're going to be here. You know, we find a lot of clients that haven't, you know, when we meet with them, review their plans, if they haven't done that, it's one of the things we really want them to do, is that, and then tap into a resource like Ron as you're looking at, you know, your healthcare in the individual market, because there's a lot of these in-between people. And one of the things we talked about earlier, off air was the issue of COBRA. You know, when people, leave a job, when they've got let go of a job or something like that, then they are required to be under the COBRA. If people think, well, that I'm just going to do that. Well, first of all, it gets really expensive because they pick up the employer share. People don't even realize what their employers have been paying for them all this time. And secondly, if their income is going to be low or lower than otherwise, they may qualify for some of the subsidies, you know, right? So they should be checking out the market.
Right. And even if that happens mid-year outside of the open enrollment, which is coming up, you would qualify for what's called limited open enrollment period, and you would be able to go on the Maryland Exchange, figure that out as if you would get a subsidy or not or qualify for Medicaid. It's certainly worth your time to do so. You have to do that within 60 days of that loss of coverage date in that COBRA situation.
Right. Yeah, so that's another area where people really can use some help. And when people use the exchange, you know, how do you recommend people use the exchange? You know, just log right in, Maryland Health Exchange.
So I would say they've come a long way from when it first the first year, you would just go onto the Maryland.gov site, the exchange site, and you just type in Maryland Affordable Care Act, Google.
Right.
It'll come up automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, once you'll set up a username, password, and then from there you can get your information and go through there. It'll ask you and trigger you the questions you need to know. It works fairly well, and it's going to give you a dollar amount and how much you qualify for, and you can take it from there.
Right. Yeah, and there's two plans left, you know, two companies left, I should say, two companies
CareFirst
left.
And Kaiser.
CareFirst and Kaiser, and CareFirst generally has a bigger open network.
They have more plans. It's probably they have about 80% or so of the market share, which could be, you know, good and bad depending on if you're making money or not making money. But, you know, last year they lost, like I said, they lost about $248 million. That's a lot of money, right?
Right. Right. But I think they still got paid. You know.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's sometimes the math of it all. But, Ron, I really appreciate you being with us tonight, and thanks for helping guide the listeners out there through this healthcare maze that we are dealing with. Christina, you know, it's good to have your support, you know, here on the show.
Next time I'm hosting instead.
Next time you're going to step up and host for us. So this is Tom Bombasuto here in Drew's seat at Money, Riches, and Wealth. At the Financial Consulate, we thank you for listening. Have a good night.